Hey, it's Jay Moore, and it is time, finally, for America's Lakers Podcast. That's right, I'm going to be hosting America's Lakers Podcast. My man Aaron Larsoul, an analytical genius, he's going to bring to the table what I can't every Wednesday. America's Lakers Podcast exclusively at PodcastOne.com, the PodcastOne.com app, which I highly recommend. You can rate and review this podcast on all Apple products. And guess what we're not going to do? We're not going to bathe in the gossip and the gratuitous negativity that's been swallowing Los Angeles whole lately. Who did what? Who snitched? Who said what? How about truth? How about facts? How about statistics? How about rotations? What's Luke Walton thinking? Who's underperforming? Who's overachieving? Who's rewarded? Who's coming? Who's going? And what are we going to do with all that delightful, delicious cap space? America's Lakers Podcast with me, Jay Moore, and my man, my brother, Aaron Larsoul, every Wednesday, PodcastOne.com.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your host, Brad Banjo, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
It's the second day of SEMA. We are here at the Magnaflow stage. And I'm Brad Fanshaw, and next to me is...
The guy who has to put his face up to the mic.
That's right, because I got one of these little things. But
it's always me, Aaron Hagar, folks.
Aaron Hagar. I forget your name every time and his name, so I got to ask you guys every show.
Well, it's because you can't see my face because it's creamed in a mic, you know.
Jeez.
Hey, this is Shift and Steer, and right over here to my left is...
Hello, Matt DeAndrea.
The Motorator.
Yes.
That's right. And our special guest this morning, none other than Ken Lingenfelter. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me back.
It's always great to have you on the show. You've got not only this incredible collection of cars that we love to drool over and talk about.
And I finally got to see.
But motors and parts and all kinds of cool stuff. So you're like the perfect guest because you always have something cool to talk about, Ken.
Well, thanks. We love horsepower, obviously.
Oh, yes.
Never enough, right?
They're never enough.
Yep.
So he obviously doesn't have a Pinsgauer.
Yeah. Yeah.
His cars don't have a lot of power. But no, too much is... Too much is never enough.
It's
just you just got to keep increasing. And when you can get that power to the ground, even the better.
There you go.
Yep. So it's SEMA. You're here. You have your booth. You've got cars on display.
We've
got racing coming up the end of the week. Where do we start, Ken? I mean, what's going on? What's the big thing you have happening?
Yeah, we look so forward to SEMA every year. I mean, this is just a great opportunity for us to get out and show all the new stuff we've been working on and, you know, show off the current stuff we're racing and things like that. So it's a blast. It's a great week. And you're right. We cap it off with racing in the Optima Series this weekend.
So let's get a little nerdy. What kind of new parts are you guys debuting here? There's always something.
Can I put some tape on the center of my glasses so we can get nerdy?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, you'd really get nerdy with the electronic stuff because, as you guys know, it's all about the electronics these days. And so we got a whole board showing off the different new electronic pieces that we've got. And our guys, our engineers are always working on that stuff and making some headway. So that part's a lot of fun. The engines themselves, we're working. LS Motors have been our expertise over all these years, but now we got direct injection. You know, it's all General Motors cars we work on. So we've been working on LT1 and LT4, and we're making big power finally with those engines. We're learning about them. Aftermarket is catching on with some of the things that we can do. We've got injectors that are just absolutely amazing. They're going to take those engines to the next level. The fuel pump has always been an issue, and so trying to get more fuel to the engine, we've got fuel pump we've engineered, and we've got those available now. And so it's a good time. That LT4, I've got one of them. I've got a Z06. It's my daily driver, a white with red interior. It's just gorgeous. But with that motor, it's got our first level package on it. It makes 720 horsepower.
And wow.
At first level.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And I can take it anywhere, drive it anywhere. It's comfortable, it's beautiful, it's fast, and good stuff.
How many Lingen-powered cars you think are out here on the SEMA show floor right now?
You know, we've got quite a few, but the really exciting part is 15% of the cars that are racing on Saturday at Optima are sporting Lingenfelder engines.
We talked with the Optima guys the other day about the Optima Ultimate Street Car Invitational, and it, over the last 10 years, it just turned into this really awesome, very competitive of there's what, five events or something that these guys do in the race. There's a speed stop challenge and an autocross and a road race course, and there's the design. It's kind of a design and engineering award as well, which you've judged several times.
We judge and we sponsor it.
That's right. So mm-hmm. And the fastest guy for the last 3 years is
what is a surprise.
Lingenfelder's cars.
Hello.
It's Lingenfelder's cars. So his engines power probably 15 of the cars, and the guy who wins a lot, Danny Pop.
Yeah.
He's just crushing it out there. Now, they say no professional drivers. And the only difference between being professional and not being professional for somebody like Danny is if he's getting paid or not. So
I thought it was a lack of fear makes you professional. Yeah.
Does free product count as payment?
I'm just telling you that.
Does if you can sell it. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Now, it's a fantastic event. I went out and saw the event at one point, and I was out there for a day for the autocross. And it not only is it exciting to see, but Optima has turned it into a pretty well-oiled machine. They started off with 25 cars the first year.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
And now there's 100 cars, and everybody has to do every event, and they do it all in 2 days.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah, it rips. Yeah. But, you know, back to your point, Matt, of, like, competition and how it's become it, and Ken, you know this. I mean, take car guys and tell them there's competition, and by the fifth year, that level has grown so much because guys get serious. You know,
they sure do. And you know, it's all racing has always been about trying to figure out the rules and how you can stretch this maybe and squeeze that and slip this in and slip that in.
Hey,
and,
wait.
Yeah.
Well, you were talking about a station wagon that you were working on, but I know
I saw that thing. It's
when
so
you brought
badass.
That up, Aaron backstage, he was talking about his Nomad that he built for his dad.
He showed
it
to me,
And he's like, you know, hey, we could slip an LS in this. And Ken's going, no, wait a minute. I can see your wheels rolling. You're like, I'm the only station wagon on that track.
That's right, yeah.
We're not going to track it.
It was so cool watching that car run around. I mean, this is seriously.
And it's a Vista Cruiser?
A 1970 Vista Cruiser.
Come on.
We turned it into a 4-4 wagon, 4-4-2 wagon. So it's got the scoops on the hood and the bucket seats and the 4-speed. Put an LS3 in it, you know, our LS7 heads, and then put a blower on the top of it. So
nice.
It's pretty cool.
Like, it's goofy looking, right? Like, it's goofy
looking,
but it's cool. Yeah.
but you can be ripping around the track, you know, laying down the rubber, putting out power, and you can still look up and see a little bit of the sky through that, you know, that old school polarized roof, right?
Old school for sure. Yeah, but exactly right. We did a show here recently with it, and I ended the show doing a smoky burnout through the parking
lot. There you
go.
Yeah. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, that was the right way to end the show.
Then he got a ticket. No burnouts. If it was a Mustang, he would have killed some people.
That's true.
coming from a multi-Mustang owner.
Right, from a Fox Body guy. Yeah.
Well, Ken after Fox Body.
Ken's such a GM guy. He doesn't like it when I tell everybody he has a 93 Cobra. he's got a black 93 Cobra, I love. His car is great, by the way.
Anybody out here that listens to our show on a regular basis, you know that Matt brings up the F word on every show.
Fox Body.
Yes.
And I bring up the P word.
Fox Body. Come on now.
Pinsgauer, F word, you know.
When I got that car, I couldn't wait to get it up on Twitter, and it was specifically for Matt that I put it up there because I knew he'd get a kick out of it, and boom, I got a response from him like in 2 minutes.
So this is a funny story is he bought his car, and he told me in confidence
what he
paid for
no
it.
No funny stories up here. Yeah, that's entertainment. Yeah.
He told me in confidence what he paid for it, and like a couple of months later, I was going out to see the Red Cobra, the one that I'm still working on.
The one you debuted at SEMA last year,
which I'm still working on.
For some strange reason.
And I went, and the guy wanted more than what you paid, and I had to get it down to like $1,000 less than what you paid.
Oh my gosh!
Just so I could text
you
like,
do it.
Just like I paid this. but when I brought mine home, there was a vacuum leak. The heads came up. I was in Arizona. My brother was there, and I said I've got to go back You know, I think there's a vacuum leak in the intake manifold. No big deal. Find it. So he takes the upper off, and he's like, oh, the phenolic spacer's in there, and it's all beat up, and it's bad. He goes, so that's out. And then he took the lower intake off. He goes, I found some problems in the head.
Oh,
so
man.
So and then I got back a month later, and it's just a block in the car. And he's like, I found the leak. I found the vacuum leak.
Man.
I was like, yeah, you took everything off.
And we're moving to the chassis next.
Yeah. But what we found was, like, the heads were ported and had a couple little mods to it. And then I was like, oh, it's a SEMA car now.
Yeah. Isn't that where you found the really great head guy to do the work on your car?
Oh, jeez. Don't even talk about that guy.
Okay, I thought this was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Needless to say, it's looking
so
good.
So, hey,
now.
Enough about FoxBot.
Right?
Back to our guest. You know, it's like.
Let's get off
always,
the Ford
always
topic
here.
I'm waiting for
always
him to start building Coyote engines. And
What he didn't tell you that he told me earlier is he put an LS in it.
Look, it probably runs better. To be honest with you, it probably runs better right now with the LS engine. But so I was out. We took Adam Kroll and I took a trip up to. We screened our film at the Henry Ford Museum. It's like
that
July
was great.
Or
yeah.
June or something.
July.
Like, July.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the Peterson Museum Checker Flag 200 Club. By the way, all white dudes. I don't know why. It's like all. Yeah. It was. It made me uncomfortable.
Hey, they're car guys.
It made me uncomfortable. It's like Bruce Meyer and Canepa and all his guys were in there. We screened the film. It went great. We had this nice Q&A panel. But then they had set up an opportunity for us to tour a couple different car collections. Went by Roush and a couple of other guys. And I told Adam, I was like, we've got to go. We've got to see. Ken's been telling us about it for years and invited us up there for years. We've never had an opportunity to go. And we went up there and just completely blown away.
Wait a minute. We've talked about it several times. He's invited us out, like you said.
Yeah, not you guys.
And every time, you go, there's not enough Fords there. I'm not going.
Well, it was a pinky promise that we were all going.
Yeah. But what a fantastic collection you have.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's so much fun. You know, and the thing is, the mission for the collection is charity work, so it's not open to the public. And so we did a whole bunch of events there this year. But, you know, just sharing the collection with other people that come in is just so much fun. It helps me justify my insanity. I mean, they're seriously, my non-car guy friends think I need psychiatric help. But
they do charity stuff, so you have to donate a kidney on the way in. But other than that, but I'll tell you, having Ken walk us around and explaining some of the cars, I've never seen him more excited in my life. Like, he's so into these cars, and they're so great. And Adam, you know, like, Corolla has his certain types of cars. And people were like, hey, you went to Ken's collection. Is it amazing? He's like, one room is. He goes, the other has like a bunch of old Corvettes, Camaros.
I can picture him saying that, to be honest with you. Yeah. So.
And Ken, along the lines of your addiction here, you know, we've got Craig Jackson and Dana Meekum. They're your enablers, right?
Oh my God. They sure are. You know, and it's
how many miles do you have on flight miles just going to every single auction?
You know, I'm off to one in just a week back here in Vegas.
I
you know,
see you
so.
All the time, Adam.
Yeah.
Wasn't there just one in Vegas?
There was. Yeah,
yeah
there
I was there. Yeah,
Vegas.
I was there. So
they're coming back.
Speaking of which, you came
time.
Out to the Barrett Jackson auction.
I did.
And tell us about that, because I ran into Craig Jackson in Orange County a week ago, and he had a big smile on his face. He said he was very pleased that the people came out and supported.
I'm glad they still did it after the huge tragedy. Yeah. It was less than a month or something afterward.
First event at the Mandalay Bay.
And they had it at the Mandalay Bay, like you're saying. Great event. They brought in some more charity cars for Vegas. Vegas Strong. Hashtag Vegas Strong.
Yeah.
And guys like you came out and supported.
Yeah,
you
know,
did you buy anything?
No, I didn't
buy anything.
You know, the challenges, and you saw this. Well, you saw at the collection, there's about 250 cars totally. These days, you know, when I built the facility, I said, I'm never going to fill this room up. Really? And it's overflowed, and it's so if I buy some, I got to sell something. It's really hard to think about.
Or you could just build another building.
That's on my mind, believe me. So
we went to Jay's garage, and I didn't even know there was more space available. And he had a whole other room when he started building it and putting motorcycles in it. And
I saw that.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
And I was
like,
where did that come from? And he's like, well, that was a parking lot. But the way he built it, you can't tell.
The
he did same bricks, same floor, same roof.
Walls.
Yeah. And you're like, there was not a wall there. I guess I thought there was a road there. He's like, bought that too.
Ken needs a West Coast division.
That's right. Well, he does. Yeah. He's got his place
in Palm Springs.
Then you
don't have to transport the cars you buy out here as far.
Well, no, he's been working on it for a while. He's got his Palm Springs place. He comes out to that auction as well.
I like to tell the people I'm sitting with at a Bear Jackson or a Mecum auction that if they're looking to justify a purchase, just come on over to me. I'll help them over the edge because I've used every justification under the sun, and it works, but it is a lot of fun.
You shouldn't have to justify it. Why is it an addiction? Why is it all these?
No, it's fantastic because he's got some
preservation.
By the way, some amazing cars in his collection. He's his La Ferrari, which your dad has as well. His is red. All of his Ferraris are red, right?
They are.
All of your Ferraris.
Just your, my thing.
Your F12 TDF,
yeah,
TDF. That's the newest
yeah,
one. By the way, I saw one of those already come up for auction for probably 2 to 3 times.
Yeah,
that's a nice investment, sir.
Well, I think the price is going to go up because there's one that's been missing now. Our mutual friend lost his in the fire.
In the fires up north.
Oh, that's right.
It melted to the ground.
Yeah. And I guarantee it was white.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pearl. It was satin pearl white.
Wow.
That's
kind of sad. I mean, the whole collection is sad, but that great part of the collection. And then there's the more wacky part of the collection, which is great because when those go across the block, like a Barrett Jackson or a Mecum, they're like, where's Ken? Where's Ken Linkenfelter in the room? They're like, this feels like a Linkenfelter car to me.
Well, you know, you got to look at it, too, now. Bald and gray, so obviously there's going to be a bunch of muscle cars there. And so,
nothing wrong with that.
Those were real popular when I was a teenager, and I had a blast with them. So, and, you know, the theme of the collection is just cars I've liked over the years. And the problem is I like them all.
Yeah.
And I want them all, but I can't do it.
Did you ever get around to building your LS-powered RX-7? We talked about it years ago.
Ooh,
we looked
I've
at
seen
an RX-7.
A couple of those. Yeah.
All right. So here's the story real quick about that. I bought an absolute beautiful 23,000-mile RX-7 at a Mecum auction.
Yeah.
And the car came back. I took it for a couple of rides. It was so good, and it looked so nice, and it ran so well. I just did not have the heart to tear
cut
it apart.
It up.
I could not cut it up.
Those you bought too good of an RX-7.
That's exactly right. So I'm still going to do it, but it's not going to be that car.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Those cars are getting hard to find. I still have always wanted one, and I've never owned one. And,
Aaron, if you drive one,
there's a really nice
I've driven one.
27,000 miles available.
But they're getting up there. I'm seeing them for 20, 25,
yeah.
30,000.
Oh, no, he's going to sell it to you for a profit. Don't be fooled by that, Aaron. Come on now.
But it's like they've all been butchered up so much and overtuned, and they got the 3 lobe engines in them and all these things.
Yeah.
It's like it's hard to find a really good running stock one.
Reminds me of Fox Body Mustangs.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
totally,
all of them have been messed with, and to find one that hasn't been touched is tough.
And the Supra of the same generation is hard to find, too. Yeah, those are
I agree with you.
Those are getting desirable.
What's next on your list? You got your eye on something, or is it still impulse buy?
It's a lot of impulse buy. I always have my eyes on something. A long time ago, a collector told me, you know, if you miss one, you pass it up, don't worry. There's always another one. And that's not necessarily
that's
the case anymore.
Yeah. Who told you that?
So, another collector. And I think he was using that to try and calm himself down, you know.
Or you guys both had an eye on the same car.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, Ken, I think he was looking at a car he thought you might want. And he was like, oh, there'll be another one, Ken. I'll bid on it.
But, you know, you and I were looking at Bring a Trailer earlier this morning.
Yeah.
Oh, that
today,
thing
we're in the green room back here, we're already on Bring a Trailer.
That sight is really something for
Isn't
me.
It?
I mean, every morning, you know, I get this feed of all these really great cars. And I bought three. I've actually bought three cars.
You brought the
trailer
to your house
three times.
Ken gets up every morning, puts on his Hugh Hefner robe, grabs his cup of coffee, fires up Bring a Trailer.
No, 5 minutes
like
of social media, 2 hours of Bring a Trailer.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
Sits
yeah.
there like a pimp trying to go through what he wants on his friggin' trailer listing.
It's an amazing site. Randy's done an amazing job with that thing. I just love it.
I heard that you called the other day and you said, can we work out something to have a bring a semi? Because, you know, I need a little bit more room.
Bring a multi-level trailer.
I've actually filled up a semi at Bear Jackson before.
I know
brought
you
it back
have.
A couple of times. So
I
know.
Saw you at Scottsdale one year. You said, I got to go over to Reliable and talk to these guys because –
I got to keep talking to car guys because seriously, if you don't have the passion that I have or something, maybe I do need psychiatric help. I don't know. But
no, you just keep doing it because we need the people that are actually preserving some of these and using it for charity, just like you do, Ken.
I love all that. More justifications, right?
You know, we had Michael Anthony on the show yesterday, and I took him to Bear Jackson years ago and introduced him to it, and he got the bug. And we were talking about justification.
Yeah, more than a few years ago.
And we were talking here. He goes, I got to get another car. I want to get another one for my collection. And he goes, but I got to always come up with something for the wife. And I said, we have your granddaughter now. You got to find one that she likes. And his eyes got about this big, and he goes,
there's a reason.
Scottsdale this year. I'm taking the granddaughter with me.
How old is she?
She's like 9 now. So okay.
See, he can just do that on color basis. What do you think about this
color?
Isn't this a cool color? Yeah. Let's buy this
one.
She
picked this color. She said get
this. It's all her fault.
Well, because like when we bought his Shelby, he's got beautiful Shelby, and it was all about, oh, Sue, don't you like that car? He was buying it for his wife.
I get it.
Yeah. Driven it once.
It's easy. You hand her a piece of candy. You go, you like that? Oh, she said yes. See, she said yes.
That's good, Aaron. I like that. Yeah,
but,
very good.
So here at the show, where's your booth at?
You know, we're straight back in this main hall here. If you go down this aisle right past Chevrolet, if you keep going, you'll run right into us.
And back what's wall in of the booth? Central what's hall? Your feature in the booth?
We got 4 cars there. We've been working with Superformance on the Grand Sport Corvettes. So we had one here last year
that
we did the engine
car.
On.
That thing is sharp.
And this year we got a red one with a white stripe in it and an LT4 that we put in it. And it's an amazing car. We've been working with the Dream Giveaway guys. You know, they give the 2 cars away, the 2 Camaros. I'm actually going to, next Wednesday, I hand the keys to the winner of the 2 Camaros. I'm flying into Tampa to do that.
Wow, that's exciting.
The program that's still open with us is 2 Corvettes. And the Corvette we modified, it's got 800 horsepower. It's a new Z06. So that will end sometime in January. So we have that in the booth.
And after that, your LaFerrari goes up for that, right?
Oh, gosh. That car's never going anywhere. I like to tell the people that my kids are going to sell that one when I'm gone. I just love to go look at it.
Yeah.
But then we've got a new Z01 Camaro. It has our first level 720 package on it. Believe it or not, guys, when we launch that car, we lift the wheels up a little bit, which is pretty darn cool.
Very nice.
And then we did something this year. You know, we love racing. Love drag racing, road racing. We've been involved in that forever. 13 NHRA Grand National titles over the years. But we're not drag racing as much as we used to just because of time and effort. But we've got a guy that we hooked up with. His name is Dirk Stratton. He's a drifter, and he drifts cars. So he has his new Corvette in there that he's going to use this year. And, I never pictured us doing anything like that until we started to watch him.
Yeah.
These events are all sold out. These guys are very, very talented. Dirk is in his early 20s and a champion driver. So that car's also on our booth.
The drifting stuff is fun because we have such short attention spans now, and you can just go in there and do it.
Yeah.
And when you sit in the grandstands, you can see the whole thing.
And it's smoky and loud.
That's right.
So it's good for everybody.
But are we – I think Irwindale just had their last event, right?
I think so, yes. That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ever? Yeah.
You know what? We brushed over something.
It is ever. Yeah. That's right. They're done.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to build a Walmart or something. I don't know.
Apartments, high density housing.
Yeah.
What one guy will roll through in a car and they'll call the cops. Hey, we went through the big, what was the exact name of it? The Great Car Giveaway or what's the
Dream Giveaway?
Dream Giveaway.
Yes.
Tell people, because that's for charity as well.
Yeah,
tell people where they can find that online. You didn't mention
it. Yeah, well, it's just go out to Dream Giveaway and you'll pick it up right there. But the Dream Giveaway program, we've been involved in it since probably 2007. And over the years, they've contributed over $20 million to some really great charities. And so we're pretty excited to be able to work with them. We got a couple cars coming up this next year, a couple of Corvettes that are going to be really good. So I think that program starts about April or so. But we've had huge success, a lot of fun building them, and there's some great cars and great charities. So what else can you say,
that's
right?
That's great.
Yeah, that's great. Every time I see that commercial, I'm like, no way, this can't be real.
Yeah, right?
I swear, every time I see it, I'm like,
you win
no
both
way.
Cars, but then you also win the money to pay the taxes.
I know, right? Oh, it's like it is a dream giveaway.
I'm thinking that's pretty cool.
There's some kind of tomfoolery going on there. Like, the commercial guy's like, hi, I won these cars. I'm like,
I know, right? It's like, no way. Yeah,
that's
not true. It happens, folks. It really happens.
How did that happen?
Pure fun.
That's so cool.
Yep.
Ken, it's so great, everything you're doing. The product, the charity work. I mean, it's killer. I mean, because combining cars, great charities, and making money and making performance, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, thanks, Brad.
We love you, man.
We love you, man.
Thanks, so guys.
Check out Lingenfelter.com. And,
right on.
And does the collection have a website as well?
It's LingenfelterCollection.com.
That makes complete sense.
It's got its own website.
It's just got its own website.
And believe it or not, I do my own Twitter. You know that.
I know you do.
You want to write me on Twitter, it's just... Ken Lingenfelder at Twitter. So
when I forget there's an auction going
you're
on,
brave,
he reminds
man.
Me.
You're brave.
Yeah. Follow him on Twitter because he's got some great stuff and he hits
and
up
nice.
All the auctions. Every auction he's there. So guys, check that out. We're gonna go ahead and take a short break and we'll be right back.
And when we come back, we have MPG, right?
Yeah, we have Joe Bacall and Mark Paul Gosselaar coming up.
That's right.
Nice.
Thanks, Alrighty. Ken.
Thanks, guys.
Welcome back to Shift and Steer. We took a short break. Now we're here with my friends Joe Bacall and Mark Paul Gosselaar. And so here's a little background on these guys. This is how I know these guys. Joe,
here we go.
Take a seat.
Wait a minute. Before you do that, I'm going to tell them. All we hear from Matt is, oh my God, Mark Paul is the best driver, man. You know, when I was doing this celebrity thing, this
damn ringer.
He goes, he is so good. And it's like, he's in the studio back home. He has a poster of you. And I go, come on, dude. I mean, really?
It's shirtless, though.
And did you know you have an action figure coming out? He's got the prototype.
A little pop figure.
Yeah,
I have a little pop figure.
Exactly. Yeah.
So Joe Bacall came on the CarCast years ago when he was racing Baja for Lexus.
That's right.
And we came in and we had a great time. We did, I don't know, one show, a couple shows. I don't know how many
did. Yeah, it was just, exactly.
And then Adam got this gig to do the car show on Speed. And I reached out to Joe. I was like, come out. We got a big day with like the Mercedes AMG SLS, the Gullwing, and a couple other cars, and it's the first episode, it's a pilot episode. Would you come out and just thrash on a $250,000 car for us a little bit? And he's like, sure.
Yeah,
that sounds fine. And then of course I was like, we can't pay you. He's like, yeah, I figured as much.
I was in the area. Yeah, so
he's like, that's why I didn't use the clutch.
He's like, yeah, I'll come by anyway.
It was a non-SAG job.
It's a Matt Dandria production. So we knew that.
We went out. We had a great time. And you know, that show's not around anymore. But if you watch the opening credits of that show and you see an SLS flying through the air, it's Joe's the one doing it. But that car, the electronic nannies were weird. Like, it took us... You know, it took us a little while to get that thing to go sideways.
The problem is, and I've done this enough times, if you don't pull sensors and different things like that, it just doesn't work right. So, I mean, I just did this LC500 up in Palm Beach. And
yeah, I love that car.
I just destroyed tires on that vehicle, and it was awesome. But, again, you got to
start. Did they pay you?
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, once you pull some sensors here and there, then it's just, you know, and that's, as a factory test driver, you never test with anything on because you can't throw the car around. So I'm like, oh, I know exactly what to do. So that's why.
Well, it wouldn't be me if I wouldn't throw you a challenge.
Yeah. I noticed when he talked about that one, he smiled when he talked about yours. It was like,
yeah. He's like, I remember that day. It's the worst day of my life.
That was awesome.
And then, I don't know, a few years back, we did the Irwindale race.
Oh, yeah.
MPG and I went out and so our good friend, you guys know him, Ed Justice Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ed Justice sponsored the event. And he called me up and he's like, you've got to come out and drive this thing. I was like, what is it? He's like, the Celebrity Irwindale Stock Car Race. I was like, I'm the charity part, not the celebrity part. But he's like, no, you've got to do it. And then he's like, and then call a few friends, you know. And I called up Brett Davern and Eric Valdez and a couple of my guys. Like, come race with us. We'll have a good time. Come race with us. And it was so much fun. It was so much fun. It was the oval over in Irwindale.
Yeah, we remember that.
And
remember
it was left turns. It was kind of easy. Like, I mean, all we had to do was turn one way.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
Do you remember, Aaron, how he walked around the studio for like,
yeah, he was all inflated.
He was all like inflated. Yeah. I'm going to go out there and show these guys how to drive.
Yeah, I did not. I did not do any of
that.
Why
are we laughing at that?
It was so much fun. It was a great event. And Trisha Helfer was with us.
Yes.
Lorenzo Lamas was with us.
What did I finish?
First.
Oh, okay.
Could have been first.
I just want to make sure. I forgot.
It was a little cloudy.
Yeah, it was a little cloudy. I couldn't remember if I was first.
He has to bring one winner.
Yeah. So we got all the great photos of him holding the trophy.
That was a good win, by the way. Yeah. I literally won by a few inches, actually.
Yes. Probably because I spun out and we had to restart the race.
Yes, that was it. I actually did.
And so they closed the gap again. Yeah. And Eric Valdez is very fast. And Brett Davern's pretty fast. So once I spun out, like, for the second time, And we had to restart the race again.
Didn't you also stall the first time you drove the Indy car?
No. I didn't stall the Indy car. And by the way, I didn't stall the F1 car, but somebody else did. Yeah, somebody else we talked about on another show. I drove an F1 car.
Can you stall an F1 car? Did they even stall?
Okay, so this is like a 2010. It's like a 2010 of V10 naturally aspirated Lotus F1 car. Just batshit crazy fast, right? And yeah, it's paddle shifter, but there's a clutch. And the first gear to get it going, use a clutch. Yeah. But the way you start it is like an old RC car. It's like a motor with a long shaft. The guy goes to the back. It's like three guys. And they're like, whatever you do, don't stall it because we have to come and get you. We need like a minivan to come and start it again. It's a thing. And he's like, so use the clutch for the first gear and then just bang gears. And it was fantastic. Like,
that's amazing.
Like, when you see in the movies, right, and it starts to get blurry, like tunnel vision because you're going so fast, that was the only time it happened in real life. And I was like, this is the greatest, greatest thing ever. But in an F1 car, your helmet starts to lift off, and you're like, why is my head going to come off? And Matt never got out of second.
I can tell you in an LFA on the test track at Toyota, it's a 10-mile oval. At 150 miles an hour, you feel like you can't even see the corner. You're like, oh, I think I'm going to get there soon. It's so slow because it's such a big track.
Yeah. And what's interesting about that car is, like, we tested for, like, 2 days in these Lotus Evora supercharged cars. And they're like, okay, now that you figured out the track, here's the difference. When you hear your tire squealing in the Lotus, you're losing traction. Slow down or straighten out.
Sure.
In the F1 car, go faster. Because it creates downforce. Because if you feel like you're losing traction, hit the gas. And it's totally counterintuitive, and it works. Like, you would never think to do it. But
Joe, I mean, we're talking about F1 cars and all this. You've raced everything, but you're into off-road racing right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't raced everything. I pretty much raced as a factory guy for Lexus for 5 years. But I come from being a factory development driver for TRD for years on the vehicle dynamics side. And then I moved into the racing side, and then I do some stunt stuff here and there. So, I like the pavement, but I get bored after 3 laps when I have to actually look at my time. I'm like, I'm just bored, honestly. And off-road, especially the Baja 1000, I mean, every corner is different for 1,000 miles, and it's pretty gnarly. It's pretty gnarly. So
talking about off-roading, that's what you guys are going to be trying to work on, right? That's the next project. You guys are going to field a truck together?
Yeah, my background was racing motocross. My whole family is still very big into motocross. Yeah. My brother is
one of the most... Your brother's like a crew chief.
No, he's an engineer for whatever team needs him, but he's AMA's most prolific mechanic in history.
Gossler name's like
the Gossler name. He's Goose. He's Goose.
Ricky Carmichael.
Ricky Carmichael, Perfect Seasons. Chad Reed is his latest guy. And then I went into racing cars because it seemed like the natural progression. I didn't want to get as hurt as much. Racing cars is expensive. So then I went back to motocross, but then I still have a love for driving
cars.
Which
is now getting expensive, by the
way. And now we're going to get expensive again. Yeah. So, but now I've always done pavement, and I've never done off-road, except I did a UTV race recently, and now I'm hooked. Yeah. I'm like, this is the way to go.
You have no idea, Mark Baum. I mean, you have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, to do what I've done my whole life is be in dirt in a car now. That's like my two loves are combining.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So we're actively looking to race in the Mint 400 in Vegas in March, and I couldn't have teamed up with a better guy to sort of get my feet wet.
Yeah, he likes to win. You like to win.
We've done pretty well. I think in 20 races and we got 16 podiums on the box and that's 3 1000s, 2 500s, championships. We did really well with the Lexus program and I've driven a lot of different trucks and I just feel like. Mark Paul mentioned, he goes, I could have gone with this team or that or done some other stuff, kind of just dabble in it. And I said, you know what, you got to be careful for one, but for two, you want someone like me with the experience to just kind of talk you through stuff, kind of manage you as you're driving, you know, slow down, you know, hit this like this, a little more left foot brake, get the car to point, whatever we have to do, then we'll switch, and then he's going to run first half, I'll run second half, and then he can watch me, because, I mean, Ivan Stewart trained me in the desert, so, I mean, for me, the techniques that I learned over the years, which made our team successful, was simply was just everything. And I think he'll get a lot out of it. He'll just have a ball.
How does it work? Walk me through the race. Like, how long is it, and where do you go? Is there a start stop? Like, how many stops you got to make? Are there checkpoints? Like,
so the Mint 400 is great because it's local here outside of Vegas. You know, it's you don't have to go to Mexico for it. 400-mile race. You know, he's going to run half the race. You know, 200 miles, I'll run 200 miles. But you don't have to be a really good co-driver either, because it's a loop, but it's a loop you kind of remember, sort of, because it's not super.
I'm not going to be a great co-driver. I'll be like on Instagram.
Right. I was going to say,
is that bad? Can you stop that while we're driving? That's like
mile 112. Stop at AM.
Look at Joe and I. We're
that'd
racing.
Be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously there's a main pit. And there's a couple.
Could
other
you slow
pits.
Down? I'm trying to send a tweet.
Yeah. Well, wait till he has to go to the bathroom and over whoops at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, I was going
to
say
that's usually a loop. You got to use that.
I shouldn't have had that giant big gulp Slurpee.
It's like, dude, you just made me spell that wrong. Can you slow down?
Yeah. And Mark, one suggestion. He just said 200, go 201. It's like ownership in a company.
Oh, right. That's
what you can go.
I ran most of the race.
Yeah, I ran most of the race.
I'm doing the start. Yeah. Although he's doing the I'll do the 201.
A little background. When I raced him in my truck, I raced against Patrick Dempsey, was next to me in a buggy. And we started together.
He's a hack.
We started together, and then he got a flat tire, and I'm like, should I help? Should I help?
He did it on purpose.
I'm like, obviously I didn't, but I just kind of laughed to my co-driver. I'm like, I'm not stopping for Dempsey, but he actually did really well. And
he did really well.
That's a great race for like your first time. I mean, there's a lot of sharp rocks here and there, but it's so fun, and it's you do a 100-mile loop. You know, you can obviously you can get out or not. I mean, for the most part. You know, he's just gonna. It's perfect. It's not too long, like the 1,000, where you're cooked. So you have to really be careful where you go. Parker's gonna be too hard for him. I think it's just too technical. The mints, it's
yeah,
where it's
that's
at.
Cool.
Okay, hey. So Mark Paul, have you been in the car since? Have you been doing any racing since you and I did our race a few years ago? You must have been doing something, right?
I raced that race again. They asked me like last minute to come in and race. I won. Just so you know. I did that for you, though.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Good.
I think I don't.
How many times did you spin out?
I only spun out after I won. I did a victory.
Oh, really?
I did that.
They
that
told me to do it before. They said do that earlier.
On the start, right?
Yeah.
On the start. Take everybody out.
But no, I haven't really raced all that much. I'm trying to think. No, haven't really done anything.
Really?
Yeah.
When we did that race, they're like on the straight, then get hard on the brake, and then turn, and then. Mark Paul and I were talking. He's like, these cars aren't that fast. Don't even use the brake. Just turn.
You don't really need to use the brake.
See, I'm not kidding.
Right? No, exactly. Like, you don't even really need
it. And it's banked, so it's going to slow you down considerably.
It's fine.
You just turn in.
Hey, it's funny. I raced Jay Leno in Jay Leno's garage on the new iRoad, the Toyota iRoad, and he smoked me. And I was like, what's going on here? And he's funny. He goes, you know what? Don't touch the brake. You know, I'm used to hard braking left, you know, that. Yeah. He didn't touch the brake once, and he got me on time. And I'm like, this is not. What's going on?
That's embarrassing. You sure you want to race with him?
Yeah.
Well, that's my background too. Is having done road racing, I never did the oval.
Yeah.
To not touch brakes, to set a car and do all that. You don't really. I mean, we kind of just lightly feathered it.
That's it. Yep. He's like, just tap
it's
it.
A trip,
tap the nose.
Yeah.
Just tap
and then
it.
Just let it kind of steer in. Oversteer.
That's a trip, huh?
Just kind of set it
the wall,
and go. Right?
Yeah. And using the wall and the reflection
off
the wall.
That's it. It's the banks, and then also you can use the car next to you. Just bounce off that guy.
I can tell you, I'm going to run the night shift in the Baja, but what's great about the night shift is you don't. I mean, there's cliffs. You don't see them, right? But if you can, you know, your left foot brake, you point the car where you literally can point it and bring it back. Point it, bring it back. But there's huge cliffs, but that's why night's so much better.
I was going to ask you, and I was waiting for a gap, but I was going to ask you, what is it like driving on the Baja at night? I don't think I could do it.
In 2012, I ran the Peninsula. This is the same race in 2017 as we did in 2012, and I actually raced the entire 1,200 miles myself with an engineer from Lexus in the car. And I can tell you that
he was napping.
Thoroughbred.
At nighttime, actually, you're more focused, and everything just kind of is super clear. But when you get tired, I think Ricky Johnson said it in Dust to Glory, you know, the trees start making – you start seeing stuff. And actually, I kept like, there's somebody behind me. There's nobody behind me.
Wow.
But I think you can be pretty crisp at night. It's once that you just get in that zone. Yeah, you don't have all the people doing booby traps and making things difficult.
Yeah,
And you just kind of get in your zone.
I could totally see that, but I've experienced it on the road. But just being off road because you can't. Well, I guess you could see as far.
Yeah, well,
right?
I can tell you my speeds didn't change from day to night, and it's because my Casey Highlights was a sponsor. I mean, it's like daylight, literally.
Yeah.
And I guess so, honestly. You got good race notes. There's no reason you should slow down.
I'm fascinated by it.
I know, I am too. The shadows don't mess with you. Yeah. Like the shadows
you don't have any shadows of those lights, man.
No, wait a minute.
Yeah, it's like here's a horizon and then nothing. Oh, there's a jump there. Yeah.
Well,
And that daylight is for like what? 200 feet, then it's dark as hell.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you've got 70-watt HIDs.
And it's moving with you, right?
I can honestly tell you, I like the Knight better. I guess.
Can I give you one driver's tip, though?
Sure.
Okay, so the next time that you see Dempsey off to the side, pull over to help him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, pull over, jump out and go, you need some help? And he'll go, oh, thanks for stopping. Go, get a selfie, jump back in your truck. And go.
Yeah, you know how long it takes to get back in and out of
that
truck.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you have any other racing going on? Other than the race you guys are doing, what's next for you, Joe?
I mean, I've been really busy doing from ride and drives, doing a lot of concept stuff with Toyota. I'm doing quite a bit more stunt stuff, commercial here and there with my guys. But, you know, I just hooked up with Toyo Tire, doing some development work for them. So I'm really all over the board with the racing, with Johnny Buss. It looks like this could be a little more happening, I guess. We'll see how the housing goes. And then, you know, hook up with Mark Paul and get him in the truck and see if he likes it. And maybe that can go somewhere as well. We're not really sure.
You know, yeah. You guys going to do some testing?
Well, absolutely.
You got to go do some tests, not just in the UTVs, right?
No.
Not just on Xbox. Yeah, sure. Not just on Forza.
Yeah. It seems fine. Like, on Forza, it seems great. Yeah. I don't know. It's all good.
I like that I hear that you're doing more stunt work, because you got to wonder how much of this stuff is virtual.
He's done a bunch of the commercials and the stunt driving and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a company called Arizona Stunt Drivers. You know, it's obviously Arizona, not L.A., but I grew up in Valencia and SoCal. I know all those guys.
We grew up together. We grew up, and we knew the same people.
You know, I get it when I get it. Commercial here and
that's
there. My buddy Ely Barta, who's a top stunt coordinator, I mean, he's super well known, and we're tight. So, you know, we get what we get.
Right on. Good.
Mark Paul, what's next for you, buddy? Also, you're an actor.
Oh, yeah.
Director, and I get so into the car stuff, and I was like, by the way, I love Pitch. That was a great show, and I'm upset that was so much fun.
I'm upset, too. That was a bummer.
Right?
There's not too many projects that I've had in my life.
On.
I had the big beer going on. There's not too many projects in my life that I walk away going, oh,
that one
was a gut shot.
Yeah.
That one was a gut shot. But I'm now working with Fox again, doing another show for them called The Passage. It's based on a trilogy of books. Basically about the world ending with vampires and man rebuilding himself.
The good stuff.
It's going to be
good
big.
Stuff.
It's going to be big.
This
epic,
is big.
Right?
This is big. It's with Matt Reeves and Ridley Scott are producing it.
Oh,
so
nice.
There's
some
pedigree
congrats.
Behind it. Yeah, this is big.
Now, this is an acting gig, but you're also producing and doing stuff as well, right?
Yes,
so this show is you in front of the camera.
Yeah.
And you're doing stuff behind the camera.
Yeah. I'm actually finding more enjoyment kind of being behind the camera than in front of it. There's a lot of pressure being in front of the camera.
Yeah.
You know, nowadays with the social media and all that extracurricular.
Oh, and you got to do so much marketing.
It is.
Like,
I feel
so
like I'm a
marketing.
Salesman now.
Yeah, right? Everything is just like, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, it feels more salesy than artistic at times. But, you know, it's the business. But, I mean, I am enjoying being on the other side of the business. And I have a deal with 20th Century because of my relationship, having worked for them for Pitch.
Yeah.
And doing comedies and dramas and documentaries and all kinds of stuff. So,
you know, I tell you, congratulations, because it's so hard to have a career in entertainment. To have one as successful and as long as yours is great, right?
Yeah.
It's a great...
Well, you kind of have to reinvent yourself. I mean, you just can't sit idle and expect things to come to you, because there's other people out there that are hungrier than you might be, and they're out there trying to find the work. And so you just have to stay in front of it and keep going and be hungry. I'm a family man, though. You know, I have four kids.
I know. They're amazing.
I have a beautiful wife. I love to be home. So it's sometimes hard for me to have that fire, that burn. But then, you know, things like this. Like this project that we're doing for the Mint 400. It's another goal.
It's amazing how these projects start to become a priority. Like, I really want to race. You know, like, I got to pay the bills and I got the kids. But I really kind of want to race, too, right?
Like, it's becoming more interesting.
Yeah, and also I have a real passion for racing. I have a real passion for.
You're good at it, man. I mean,
thanks. I appreciate
it.
It's in my blood.
Me.
We'll just leave it at that.
I was in the car with him, and I'm like, I got nothing to tell you, man. You're like, you're spot on. I'm like, just turn your head, do this.
No,
you know?
he's phenomenal.
Spot on.
That's awesome.
I was just saying, my background has always been racing. I was on a bike when I was 3 years old. My brother is 16 years older than me, so I was sort of like his guinea pig.
Yeah.
But I've been racing my entire life, and it's like, I don't want my acting career or what I do for a living to get in the way of that. I think there's room for both, so we're gonna squeeze it in.
Have
some fun.
Thanks
if Patrick
so much.
Dempsey can do it and Dax Shepard,
that's right.
I'm gonna do it.
That's right.
I was gonna ask if you were an adventure biker, because coming from motocross and now off road,
I've actually been asked to do that.
I am.
Awesome, right?
I go to Baja all the time with him. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because if you haven't hit that yet,
Yeah. I've been asked to do that. I was planning to go to the Sierras last month. I wasn't able to make that trip. There was actually a trip in Colorado that I was supposed to do as well. Actually, adventure racing where you take a partner, you hit the checkpoints and things like that. I'm actually going to do that.
Well, let's talk. If you hit up the Sierras again, I'm up in Tahoe. So
okay, yeah. Sounds good,
guys. Thank you so much. I know we're running a little late on here, and we got another show coming up. These guys got
they're
another
not
podcast
important.
Coming.
That's you know what
I was
important.
Saying. That's what I was saying. But yeah.
We could be here all day.
guys, hey, thank you. Thank you, guys, coming up. If you guys have a social media accounts or Twitter that we should be following, website, what's going on?
Yeah,
what do you got, Joe?
I've just got my my JT Gray Performance Driving is one of my companies. Arizona Stunt Drivers is the other one. Just trying to stay busy.
MPG?
It is MPG on Twitter. MPG on Twitter, and then Instagram is MP Gossler.
There you go.
Pretty easy.
Cool. Right on, guys.
Thanks, guys. Check us out again, shiftandsteer.com, and we're on all the social media at shiftsteermedia, and we'll be back recording another show tomorrow.
Every day at 10 a.m. right here on this stage. Thanks to the folks at MagnaFlow, and we appreciate it.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.